So, Dave, a big star this week. Let me tell you how big this star is. He has been on the Jack Benny Show, all right? And you want me to prove it to you?
Yes.
I'll prove it to
you. You're lying.
No, it's true. Here we go.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I am very fortunate to have as my first guest a new singing group whose records are already selling in the millions. And they are making their television debut on my show. Ladies and gentlemen, the DeFranco family featuring Tony DeFranco.
Yeah. Millions, it says right there. Millions. And he is going to be gracing us on the show, which we're very happy to have him on. And it's right after this.
The following is a Tony Lasano podcast, an Opie show on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. This is the Minutia Man Celebrity Interview with Rick and Dave.
Dave, our guest today is one of the biggest teen idols in the world from the 1970s. He graced the cover of about 1,000 issues of Tiger Beat. He sold millions of records, activated the hormones of pretty much every young teenage girl. Appeared on American Bandstand, The Jack Benny Show, which we just played for you, Sonny and Cher, just to name a few. Of course, he was on American Top 40 with Casey Kasem. I remember hearing him when I was driving around as a youngster myself. Please welcome heartthrob Tony DeFranco. How are you, Tony?
Thank you, guys. I'm doing good. I appreciate you having me on the show. And that, with that intro, my ego is just elevated just a little bit more.
Actually, I think I can see it from here in Chicago, Mount Prospect, Illinois. I think we actually see you over the horizon.
Yeah, I always have the joke that I say that I'm going to have my house remodeled. I'm going to have the doors widened at the top so it accommodates my ego.
And your hair.
Yes, you have a hell of a head of hair, dude.
You know, this is something that Dave is very envious of, is that incredible head of hair of
yours. In about 6 minutes, I'm going to turn on you like
I don't have the hair I had in the 70s, but... Okay. I still have a full head, so I'm grateful for that.
Okay. Yes. Don't tell a bald guy. Don't besmirch your hairline when you have a wonderful hairline like that. Say, no, it's not that good. Yeah, just stick it.
Wear it with pride. Wear it with pride.
I hear you. Okay. Yes. I hear you. I do.
So let's do a little backstory here. Your parents are from Italy, and they relocated to Canada. Your dad was a musician, and the family would perform at like local events, you know, I don't know, festivals and stuff. Then in a heartbeat, see what I did there?
Yeah, oh, boom.
I'm sure you've never heard that before. you and your siblings became literally an international sensation. So tell us, you know, you're a 14-year-old kid, basically, when this happens. That had to be a complete mind screw Just talk us through that time.
Well, actually, I was 13 when it was on the charts. So it went from just being, you know, a simple life living in Niagara Peninsula in Canada. And they said, hey, kid, we're taking you. I mean, I'm giving you the fast version, but we're taking you to Hollywood. And I was like, where the hell is Hollywood? I've never even heard of it. They only have palm trees. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we go to Chuck Lauffer's house, and Chuck Lauffer was the publisher for Tiger Beat magazine and amongst a few others. And we did an audition with him. He loved what he saw. He put a couple sample photos of me in Tiger Beat just to see the reaction. So you got to keep in mind, back in those days, there was no MTV, there's no internet, nothing. The little girls went down to the corner store, whether it was 7-Eleven or wherever, and then they would write letters to Tiger Beat. And then I remember getting canvas bags full, like from the post office, of girls writing me. And so that was their sign. Okay, we may have something here. Let's take him in the studio.
You know, that never happened to us.
No. A heartbeat is a love beat.
And what it did to me, it was a whirlwind, right? I mean, it was a magic carpet ride. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was fantastic. Now, would I put my child through that? And did I put my child through that? Probably not, nor would I to this day. I think it's throwing your kid to the wolves. And I know that wasn't my parents' intentions, but I'm still here. I came out good. we sold millions of records and made, I don't know where that money went, but we didn't see the money.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So needless to say, your deal was not, well, at that time, I mean, you hear stories about that all the time.
I mean, Jack Benny just said you sold millions. Yeah. You sold millions of
I think
of
the money
record.
Went to Jack Benny.
Yeah, it went to somebody. It went to somebody. But, you know, that was common back then. You know, right. I'm not, look, the roadside's littered with the carcasses of many failed careers, and most of those people were royally screwed from either the record companies, management, publishing, you name it. Right. And then typically the shelf life is usually good for one or two albums. And if you can survive more than one, two albums, you were really lucky. Mm-hmm. And then disco hit and we couldn't get past through disco. And so that there you go. We flamed out.
So how old were you when it all when it all ended?
I think it was really hot. I think up until the time I was like 15 or 16. And then we went in the studio and we tried to do a disco record that didn't catch on. And then we lost our label deal and we started, we lost our management with Chuck Lauffer because we questioned, where's the money?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How dare you question where the money is? And that blew up. And I'm being honestly, awfully honest right now, and maybe I shouldn't be, but yeah, that's what went down.
Well, yeah, your whole family was in the band. Right. So it's not, mm-hmm. not just you not getting money. It's the whole family not getting money. Right.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And my parents, like you said, they're from Italy. Both my parents are off the boat. Very trusting, very not wise to the ways of the world. And they say, you know, sign here. And sure. OK, sign here. You know.
Right.
And the devil's in the details.
You know, we've had Robbie Rist on the show, who's played Cousin Oliver, and Danny Bonaducci, you know, we've had him on.
Danny. So, I went to private school with him. Okay, sorry, go on.
I love that.
That is the coolest thing. You know, did you play, you ever play dodgeball? Do you remember ever playing dodgeball against Danny Bonaducci?
With Danny, I probably would have hit him in the face. he was a piece of work then, and he's still a piece of work. And I mean that with affection. He's funnier than hell.
Yeah, he is.
Well, you know, and he had certainly issues, you know, dealing with, you know, his post-child star life.
Absolutely.
You seem to be extremely well-adjusted, and you've had a really great career selling real estate, right? Was it because of your family grounding you? I mean, luck? Yeah, what do you think?
I think a little combination of things, right? So I was grounded with my family. Simultaneously, when I went to private school with Danny and Michael Jackson and various celebrities, you'd see the wheels coming off the cart from people, you know, doing drugs, Quaaludes or whatever, not to mention Danny's name. Well, yeah. I just did.
He was very forthright.
I worked with Danny here in Chicago at the radio station.
I see that happening to people around me, and I'm like, I don't want to go down that path, and I don't want to lose control. So maybe it was me. I was, you know, pretty conservative in that respect. You know, but now I enjoy my bourbon and, and wine, yeah. But I limit myself on, you know, on those kind of things. So anyway, so I also went down the path of, okay, now what do I do with my life? Felt lost for a while. And I said, I can't do this. I have to push forward. Find a place in life, and if all you do is look in the rear view mirror at your past career, you're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah. Especially, I just
looked forward. Yeah, exactly. I looked forward, had a family, had kids, and got into real estate because I wanted to be responsible for what I do and not dependent on anybody else. And it's been good to me, so I'm not complaining.
Do your kids know? I mean, what do they think about dad being this pop star when I was young? I mean, my kids would be unimpressed. I don't know how your kids are.
Yeah, a little bit of both. I think at first it was like, Dad, what did we do? Because I did a reunion show at BB King's and brought the kids along. And my daughter walks up to me because the show was running late. And we had yet to go on stage. She goes, Dad, I have a test tomorrow at school. I'm like, really? Really? Is this what you're telling me? So unimpressed. And then to this day, you know, people are always, to this day, because of the internet, Right. People are bringing up my career past all the time, including to my son, Tony Jr., right? And he goes, I just don't see it. I don't put it together. And then my friends' moms come up to me, and they want to touch me because I'm your son. And I'm like, well, so he has a hard time dealing with it.
Oh, I didn't think about the moms, the other moms.
Well, he's also known. I mean, he's also Tony DeFranco.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So, exactly.
Right. Yeah. His heartbeat is a love beat, too.
He's like, I don't know. I just don't see it, Dad. I'm like, well, just look on the wall. That picture, that's me when I was.
Mate, that's Dinah Shore.
You don't have to look too far. It's right there. Yeah.
That's Ethel Merman with me right there.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Now, you actually did meet people like that, right? I mean, you were on Dinah Shore show. And you perform with Annette Funicello, or Ethel Merman, Bill Daly.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much every big star of the 70s. That had to be pretty wild.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm sitting here looking at my wall with various memorabilia pictures, including Sonny and Cher. Like I said, we met so many people that I was at that age a little bit overwhelmed. Right. I started forgetting things. And then I'd have conversations with my siblings and they go, no. Do you remember on Dinah Shore? We went and Gladys Knight was there. And this person, I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah, now I remember. It's just it was so much information.
And you know, you're in school now. You moved to L.A., right? Did your family move to L.A.?
Yeah, that's when you
moved. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's how you met Danny. And that's where you went to school with Danny and all that stuff. But there were other people in that school, too.
Yeah, Christian, right? Wasn't Christian Brando there, too?
Brando, Michael Jackson. It was all I call them celebrity brats, whether they were brats or not, wealthy kids, right? And so it was a relatively small school. And I remember seeing Danny. Danny was pulling out of the school parking lot in the car, and he had his window down. He's trying to look all cool. I said, Danny, hey, come here. So he drives up to me. I go, you're sitting really close to your steering wheel. You look really uncool. Push your seat back, extend your arms. Now put your left arm out the window. He's like, and he never forgot that.
Wow.
He's like, you helped me immensely. So that's my Danny story.
God, that is so awesome. Tony DeFranco giving Danny Partridge tips on being cool.
Did you teach Michael Jackson the moon dance? Tell me you taught him the moon dancing.
No. Michael rarely showed up because he was always doing something. But I remember one time I was shooting hoops basketball with some friends there at the school, and I couldn't shoot basketball to save my life. But Michael's standing at the top of the stairs. I'm like, hold on, guys. I'm going to go get Michael to join us. I knew his brothers loved to play basketball.
Well, there's five
so
of them.
So I run up and go, yeah, and they loved it. I'm like, Michael, come on, let's shoot some hoops. He's like, no, Tony, that's okay. I'm like, well, come on, I can't play. Let's have a little fun, right? He's like, and he said no again. I asked him one more time. He goes, Tony, I don't like to sweat unless I'm on stage. And I went, okay. And I pat him on the shoulder and walked away.
Oh, my gosh. So you mentioned.
Yeah, and then,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And then Brando's. Brando, I'm trying to remember the story, but he basically asked me if I wanted a dog, and it turns out he gave me a half German Shepherd and half wolf.
What?
Like a wolf? Like a,
I was
like
bred
a
with
wild
a wolf.
Animal.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa, okay. So, but he was really, really shy, and the few stories I got from him, he was kind of tortured by his childhood.
Yeah. Yeah, no, these are a couple of guys that did not end well for those guys.
I get this picture of the lunchroom at the high school. Yeah. You got Michael Jackson, you got Christian Brando, you got you got Danny Partridge. Like,
any of the Brady kids go to school there?
I don't think so. I don't remember. Okay. That does not ring a bell. But we did do a game show with them. Almost Anything Goes, and that was like at the very tail end of the career, and they're like, you have anything going for us? I'm like, oh yeah, we have you on a game show. I'm like, oh God.
That's when the writing's on the wall, right? When you're
I'm like, oh shit, you're going from the from the A list to the B list to the C list. And then they came to me, they said, we need somebody to sing the theme song for the game show. And my manager said yes, and I'm like, oh really? And what do I have to say? Almost anything goes, whatever it was. It was the lamest thing ever.
Do you still perform? I mean, do you still sing at all? I mean, is it because you obviously have a good voice? I mean, what?
I really showed a lot of really good vocal chops there.
Wow. To us, that was Pavarotti. Yeah,
to us, right. So, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, do you still dabble?
In the car, and the crowd goes nuts when I'm done. and in the shower. No, the last time I sang, and I'm kind of a little embarrassed to say, because I really should get back to singing, I sang the national anthem at the Dodger game.
Oh.
And it's probably been like 9 years now, so unfortunately. And that I was really nervous about, because it's one of the hardest songs to sing.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
And when they asked me, I'm like, well, I'm going to be a jerk if I say no. And if I say yes, how soon do you want it? Because I need to practice. And they go, oh, you pick any game this season. So I picked something like three months out.
Wow. So what was
you can listen to it. It's on YouTube if you want to track it down.
So, when you were up there, did you have any, like, you've seen so many videos of people, like, forgetting the words or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my number one thing. I was like, oh, please, don't forget the lyrics. So I start to sing, oh, sick. And I look up. And there I am, as big as the moon on the jumbo screen. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't look at that. And I look down, and I continue to say, as I look back up another time, I'm like, oh, damn, the lyrics are there. Great. I was all worried about the lyrics, and they're strolling by through the crowd.
But, you know, if that helps, a lot. If I'm ever shown on a jumbo screen or, you know, jumbo time, I'm like, man, I should get that mole checked. You know? So you're still getting fan mail? I mean, I would assume, like you mentioned, with the internet now, you're easier to find. Are you still? I would imagine, you know, that you're still in contact with fans pretty regularly, right?
Yeah, because of social media, I get a lot of reach outs, So I have a family Facebook page. I have my personal page, and I get a lot of wonderful messages or emails from people that, you know, they'll make comments about. When I was a kid, I had an abused childhood. I would stay in my room, and your album saved me. Your record saved me. And to this day, they introduced the song to their kids. And then it's kind of sad to say, but they introduced it to the grandchildren. Everybody loves the music still.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of reach out. So, yeah, I'm happy to say that.
Well, Dave has the 45. I mean,
I do. You know, I was going to. So we're 60. You're 63. Is that
64?
Okay.
So
ballpark. Yeah, we were just a smidgen, you know, younger than you. And I remember, I mean, you were huge in our grammar school. And of course, as a 10-year-old boy or 11-year-old, I publicly would not give you, you know, any credit, you know, credibility. But
privately.
when I was alone, I would listen to your album and your 45. I remember, you know, putting it with a little plastic thing in.
Yeah.
Loved it, you know. Was there a jealousy thing with, you know, boys during, you know,
For sure. So when they first brought me to LA, they put me in a public school in North Hollywood. And simultaneously, my picture started to get pretty heavily hammered on Tiger Beat.
Yeah.
So the little girls were reacting, whispering, screaming, whatever. And boys there, for whatever reason, this was junior high school, but they looked like high schoolers to me. And then I started getting picked on, and or guys just, you could see they just wanted to kick my ass because the girls were giving me attention.
And then they felt bad for you and wanted you even more.
maybe. But I also remember, it was like 2 years ago, somebody sent me an internet story. And this story was, this guy says, why I hate Tony DeFranco. I'm like, oh crap, what is this? So I start reading it, and it actually was really funny because the guy was like, I thought I was the coolest, best looking guy in junior high school. All the girls dug me. And then Tony DeFranco came along, and it was all about Tony.
That is so odd. Yeah, that is.
I love that. How is the rest of the DeFranco family?
Yeah, how are they doing?
Doing great. Just saw them 2 days ago. We celebrated our mom's 95th birthday.
Oh, congratulations.
Wow. Yeah. So we all live within an hour or two of each other, still in Southern California. I think everybody's retired except me because I enjoy it.
Yeah, right.
And
terrible breakup stories? Like, I'm not talking to, you know, one of
your brothers. Families think we all have our stuff, right? But when push comes to shove, we're always there for each other.
No. Well, you know, you're and obviously you know that we're publishers. This is a story. Yeah. This is a book.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. I don't know if you've ever thought of writing the Tony DeFranco autobiography, but
I actually just thought about it this year for the first time. Yeah. I'm like, eh, you know what? I go back and forth. Like, there's a lot there and a lot that people don't know and a lot of interesting stories. And then I go, nobody's going to care, right? Oh. Nobody cares about biographies. I'm like, yeah, but still, there's a story to tell, right? So yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think biographies are what people do care about. It's one of the things that we sell the most because, you know, you're telling the story of your life. It's
true.
And we promise not to screw you like the record label did.
Well,
<back.
laughs> yeah.
No, we'll have to.
Yeah, okay, no problem. Yeah. No. Define screw. You know. Well,
now that you know I'm an easy mark.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that full head of hair. I'll get you in your full head of hair.
Tony, this has been a great interview. Thank you very much for being on with us. If people want to follow you, what is the best way to do so?
I guess if they can follow me, we have the DeFranco Family Facebook page. We have that, and then Tony DeFranco. I wish I knew the handles. I don't. But if you're on Facebook or Instagram, both are there. And we also have, to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Heartbreak, a merchandise page.
Oh.
Go to DeFranco.store. And we came out with T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, just some fun stuff to help celebrate.
Is this the 50th anniversary this year?
It is. November was 50 years that Heartbeat was out. So now I think we're into abracadabra days right now.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, happy 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, this has been great. And much health to you. And we'll...
That's how we'll tease the interview, the 50th anniversary of our, you know.
Your marketing. You gave us our marketing spiel. Thank you.
There you go.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks Tony. Have a good one.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tony DeFranco.
Now I feel bad for all the mean things I said to him about him in grammar school.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's such a, you know, typical lament of the child star getting hosed by the
wanted to be the, you know, who I wanted to be, who I thought was the coolest dude at that stage, James at 15.
Oh,
do you remember that show?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He wore the same kind of jacket as me. We had the same haircut, you know.
He disappeared.
I know.
I can't remember the actor's name,
yeah,
but I think there was something bad happened
to him. All right, we'll have to look that up. Yeah. We have people to thank for the show. We have to thank Brandon.
Yeah,
Brandon score this great guest for us? So we have to thank Tony Lozano with Opie Productions.
And, of course, Tony DeFranco.
It's more Tonys than we can handle. And also Ed Silla with the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Great Talk Radio isn't dead. It just moved to a better place. RadioMisfits.com. And we'll be back again soon with another episode of
Minutia Man Celebrity Interview.
The proceeding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of Opie Productions.
Tony, can you shut up?
Tony, I don't like to sweat unless I'm on stage.